This is a replay of Wednesday night's July 19th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday to Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and I hope you'll join me. Better yet, I hope you'll call. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Chad. We'll get to Don. Oh, I love it when we've got people in line as I begin, but I promised that I would go over the unidentified floating object. And actually, while that's a cute headline, the Sydney Herald has been using it for over a decade now for things that wash up on the Australian shores. And maybe it's the currents, I don't know. But a lot of space junk winds up there, that's for sure. I have a personal stake in this to some degree. It was 1979, and I was programming a radio station in Los Angeles when everybody was talking about Skylab, because Skylab was falling. It was going to come out of geostationary orbit, and there were people who were convinced it was just going to be the end of life as you know it, and everything in between. And so I decided that our little radio station, KPOL, would in fact offer Skylab insurance. And I remember we were owned by Cap Cities at the time, because at that point, in order to sell an AM, you had to pass a proof of performance, and they couldn't, so they owned it. And I remember someone from the Cap Cities New York office, some lawyer type undoubtedly, called, "We think that's a great idea here. We were wondering who underwrote that." I said, "Underwrite?" And there was dead silence at the other end. And they said, "Well, certainly you're not giving out this insurance without someone underwriting it." I said, "Of course I am. It's not going to fall on anybody, and not in our listening area." He's, "How do you know that?" I said, "Because I just do." And fortunately, I was right about that. But for a while, I think they were debating about whether I should ever come back to work. But nonetheless, you sent in a postcard, and we sent you back your Skylab insurance policy, including your protection helmet and the early warning spike. That was a 2-inch piece of metal. In any event, it was obviously a joke, but everybody was relieved when, where did it wash up? Where did it fall? Somewhere near Australia, don't they all? So when I read that a bizarre object had been found on the beach in Australia, I thought, uh-huh, yeah, from what did this fall? Well, sure enough, it turns out now that looks like it's the case. What I loved, though, is that as online users continued to hypothesize what they thought this might be and come up with all sorts of answers. My favorite, though, was actually an Australian National University astrophysicist who, in response to somebody saying, "It looks like a perfect match for India's PSLV third stage." By the way, it does. But this astrophysicist said, "Well, then there should be a catalog or a part number on it. I thought, a catalog number? How many do they think are out there?" Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't come with that But they do obviously have identifying markers, I'm sure. But when I saw a catalog, I thought, yeah, right. I'll have, let's see, I'll take two books from Amazon. And, yeah, I think I want a strainer. And, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The recovery phase of, I don't think so. In any event, 888-876-5593. So now, where they first were saying to everybody on the beach, don't go near it, we don't know what it is, and a number of people saying it came from outer space. Well, I guess technically it did. It's a question of how far outer. So police are confirming that the bizarre object most likely did come from a terrestrial launch of some sort at some point. So that's what we know about that to date. But yeah, like I say, it must be something in the currents because it always seems to wash up in Australia. All right, so 888-876-5593. Chad is in Louisville. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, really? That's interesting you mentioned that because I remember all the hoopla about Skylab falling.
Absolutely. So I thought it would be a great idea for promotion. You know, we get, it never even occurred to me I should have had an underwriter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I kind of just had a general question. What really killed AM music on AM? I mean, I grew up with it, so to me it sounds good. I mean,
well,
there's
so many facets of that answer. I'm so glad you asked because we can talk for the next 3 hours. No, okay.
Oh, that'd be fine with me.
Yeah, let's see if we can boil it down. FM became viable at the standpoint that the technology improved when they had the field effect transistor and they were using circular polarization, it was no longer going to drift. So it was viable. But initially, people all talked about, you know, it's in stereo, as if that was a selling point.
Yeah.
Well, firstly, most people don't perceive stereo. They perceive fidelity. And AM, unfortunately, had gone through so many processing wars. And as you know, the great loudness wars, a program director would dial across the dial, hear that his competition was louder, go to his engineer and say, make us louder. Well, you know,
yep.
That can be done. It can be done fairly easily, but it will be done at the expense of quality. Oh, yeah, it's easy to make you louder. You know, between that and various stages of reverb done in various qualities, to say the least. My favorite being WNOE, when they used to be owned by the Baptists of New Orleans. So every Sunday they had to carry the Baptist service. And when they decided to install surround sound in the early 60s, unfortunately, they included the pot that brought in the Baptist service. And so it was. It really did sound like they were talking to God, 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 God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Baptists weren't too pleased. So in any event, what you were getting as FM starting to, you know, more cleanly rise is you're getting a lot of real muddy sounds on AM. The processing was not good on. Now, not on all of them. There were some excellently processed stations, don't get me wrong. But by and large, it contributed to it to a good degree. It just didn't sound as good. Now, that's one issue. There are so many. The next thing is, of course, depending upon the market, FM was clearly superior in terms of just a solid signal. You know, now, if you're in Seattle or you're in Cincinnati, you know, San Francisco, not as good, you know, but if you're in Houston or Miami, oh man, totally flat as a cow patty, it's going to go for forever. So so there were issues you know, there as well. So I think technologically you have to say, on the one hand, there were technological challenges. You know, and oh, by the way, as an aside, by the 80s, as you know, everybody thought that top 40 radio on AM was completely dead. Oh, hell, they thought top 40 radio was dead, period, by 1980. But when it came back with a vengeance in the early 80s, the first station to do well doing top 40 was actually an AM radio station. It was 790 in Houston, the old KULF, which was, I think at that time, KKBQ. and it went to number one in 1 month. I mean, it was fast. But, of course, teen radio is fast. Now, at that point, Gary Edens, who was controlling the group that owned it, had to eat his young, because if somebody else copied him and did it on FM, he knew that he'd lose. So he you know, took his FM, which had originally been Spanish, and then Easy Listening, the Woody Sudbring thing, and made it top 40, and, of course, did very well. So
was that when they rebranded it CHR?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, it was a full year before I could read that and not think it said Christian. I would see that in radio and records, and it didn't compute for me for quite a while. But yes, that contemporary hit radio. Oh, speaking of R&R and all that, I read something in the last couple of days that I'm really, really sad about. Joel Denver, a long time ago now, I think like 28 years ago, started All Access. And as far as I'm concerned, All Access is the granddaddy site for radio information online. It's well done. Yep. It's terrific. I love it. And it's going dark on August 15th. And it's going dark because as Joel said, financial headwinds too much. Yeah, and that makes me wonder about the state of the record industry, to say the least. But yes, All Access is going to cease to be in less than a month. And I find this very disturbing. And I know that it wasn't Joel's choice. It's not like he wanted to retire or something. It just really, for quite some time now, hasn't made financial sense to continue. So, I'm so sad about it. Yeah, and other than that, I don't have any news, and maybe if somebody else does, they can let us know together what it is. But one of the things that started to happen, of course, is, you know, while we talk about AM or FM in terms of quality, the reality, as I was mentioning with the KKBQ example, was it really is a question of what's on it. And so, to a degree, it was a self-fulfilled prophecy.
Yeah.
People were building their FMs, putting money into them, and marketing into them. And their AMs were, slowly, especially after satellite programming was available and they could just slap that puppy on there and be done with it, slowly wasting away. And then, of course, many of them who saw a dollar a holler opportunities, whether it was, selling paid religion or selling infomercials, that further was the death knell. So I think it was... that was a combination in Cliff Notes of what went on.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. It's like you were talking about FM, here in New Albany, Southern Indiana. I get 98.3 Quixie out of Elizabethtown. They come in great.
Uh-huh.
And then there's one on 98.5, which is out of Jeffersonville High School. I didn't know two FMs could be that close together, but maybe if they're like more than 40 miles apart, I guess.
There is a chart that will tell you exactly how far the because that would be a first channel co-channel adjacency. You could look at the mileage right there. It also is determined by what their effective radiated power is. And so,
Quixie has a lot more power than Jeff High School.
Well, you would think. So I'm going to look up those. It's 98.3 and 98.5.
Yeah, okay. WQXE is 98.3, and honestly, I don't know what 98.5's call letters are, because I usually listen to WNAS because they play everything.
There sure is that. Whatever happened to WQHI? They were owned by Whatever's Fair.
Oh my God. That became WQMF 95.7.
Okay. I always wondered what happened to them. I still have one of their front license plates. But,
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think, most of my front license plates now, are Area 51. But I think if I make a change, from Nevada, of course, if I make a change, I might put Q-High back on there. So
that would be cool. That's where Terry Miners, who still does actual live afternoon drive on WHAS, that's where he started at back in the mid-70s.
Right,
yeah.
Right. No, I remember. Like I say, the company was Whatever's Fair was their licensee.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, well, I'm going to look up the 98.3 and 98.5. Meanwhile, the other night, I was looking up apartments in New Albany. And, one thing I was pleased is that one that they built, God, over 50 years ago that had the turret bedrooms is still around. You know that.
Oh, I lived there in the early 90s.
Did you? Oh, I loved those turret bedrooms.
Did.
I thought those were just the best.
Those were cool, man.
They were. They were. And so, first thing I looked for was that. And it's still there. But I found several that were more in the, like, between 729 and 850 range than 1100.
Yeah, that's what I'm... actually going to talk to somebody tomorrow about, believe it or not.
Okay, good.
And get that, see what I can get going there with that. You just got to dig around. That's what I've been doing online.
And some of them were nice low deposits.
Yeah, that's so. The other thing, too, exactly. Yeah.
But, if you do look around, I probably came up with a dozen potentials.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few, and like you said, the lower deposit helps.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people don't have $2,000 sitting around, you know.
Right.
Just
no, I think some of them were more in the $300 range. So, I was looking at that because I remember when we talked, you said, gee, I'm not finding anything, you know, for less than like $1,200. And I thought, well, they are there.
Yeah.
So now your assignment is to go find one of those, wrap up one of them puppies.
That's what I'm actually going to do tomorrow. That's
good.
My task for Thursday.
And, you know, some of them were fairly sizable. I mean, yeah, there were a couple that were studios, but, I mean, some were one-bedroom apartments that had over 1,000 square feet.
Yeah, you know, and that's that'd be perfect for me, you know, because it's just me, so.
Absolutely.
I don't need a lot of room.
Yeah.
One other quick question I had, I look on Radio Locator sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I notice, like, a lot of stations are some of them, like in Los Angeles and some in Miami, it seems like they shoot the signal out into the ocean. And I'm like, why wouldn't they shoot it inland, you know, to get more listeners?
Well, if you're talking, there isn't that much directional FM there. There's a lot of directional FM in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. But if you're talking about on AM? All right. Some of them do pull back. And in fact, the most notorious is actually not there, but WBZ in Boston, which is a 1A clear, and it could easily, you know, be non-directional. They pull back because of the ocean. But some of them do, and some of the patterns have changed over the years, depending on what the Cuban blasters are doing.
There's
a few things. But, yeah, a lot of them, I think, that are non-directional want to keep that non-directional.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. I know WGN's non-directional.
Oh, of course.
They come in great down here in Louisville. Yeah. They come in real good.
Well, that's the benefit of a ground system. And, Miami has a full range of ground systems. A lot of people used to just put them in water, which, water's great, but you got to keep up that ground system.
And, I remember you telling me that, a transmitter in a swamp is a great thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But, I mean, there were a couple there. The old WRIZ, that 1550? I can't remember, but 15-something. I've got the ashtray somewhere. I should look at it. But anyway, rise to the right of your dial. And in any event, you had to get there by boat to the transmitter. It was on this little island, and I remember taking the boat a few times. But I am very adverse to mosquitoes, so that was not a site I would visit regularly. But WQAM for a while, it used to be owned by the Miami Herald before Storrs. Their beautiful self-supporter was right in Biscayne Bay. And right behind the Miami Herald building. And I always wondered why the hell they moved that. But I was so long gone, I have no information whatsoever. But, yeah,
wow.
Water's good. I've seen a number of them do that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the information, Raleigh. I really appreciate it. And I always enjoy talking.
Likewise. Hope to hear from you soon. And keep me posted on Apartment Search 2023.
I certainly will. You have a good evening.
Right, you too. And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. I can't believe I'm so long-winded talking about radio, and I really need to talk about radio. And that is, it's right in front of me, too, the Sea Crane Company. And I know Chad loves them, and if you're a radio lover, I know you do, too. Because Bob Crane is one of us, and years ago he decided that radio reception was just terrible on what was being made, and he knew he could do better, and boy, did he. And there's so many from which to choose. But my favorite Well, I can't even say that. That's not fair because I've got several. But I'll tell you what I think is a delight because of the single sideband feature is the CC Skywave SSB2. It's the newest edition of C-Crane Skywaves, the CC Skywave SSB2. Single sideband is the ultimate companion and emergency radio because, man, I'll tell you, when it all hits the fan, the first responders are going to be on that single sideband. You'll hear information you won't hear anywhere else. You can also hear a traffic control and a number of other things. So it's not something you'll probably listen to daily, but just having it's really nice. And this radio fits in the palm of your hand. It only weighs 8 ounces. And the AM and FM reception is excellent, like everything Bob develops. And not only will you get single sideband, but also you get the weather band and you get the weather alerts. So you will know what's going on, as well as, like I say, hearing ham operators from all over the world. And AM and FM. You know, for the size, it sounds really good, really sharp and clear. And you can check it out at ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look for the CC Skywave SSB2, the true radio lover's travel radio. You can call if you can't go online. They'll order on the, you know, take your order by phone and answer all your questions. And that's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But your best bet is to go online because there's great information as well as great products, including that CC Skywave SSB2 at ccradio.com. ccradio.com, you tell them that Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Baby, it won't be long. I'm going away, and it won't be long. I'm going away, and it won't be long. Just show that train is out of that movie eye. Just show the train is out of that movie eye.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and well, that's the original. Yeah, long before Canned Heat, to say the least. It was Donna Beloit who requested that. And as we said, we're not going to play your requests unless it's something that I like, you know, something in the R&B or doo-wop genre. But yeah, I thought that was worth hearing. And I saw one person who said, "What great flute work," and I started to laugh. That's not a flute. Those are the quills. And the quills are an instrument. It looked like bamboo rods that are put together. And this is what the slaves would you know, perform with. And this guy, Henry Thomas, was actually a descendant of freed slaves. He was born about 1974, so less than 10 years after the Civil War, and his parents were freed. But yeah, so they were hollow tubes, and they definitely weren't a flute. But the guy who played flute, and it was, on the Canned Heat record was, you know, pretty true to form on that. And I think that was Jim Horn, but I'm not sure. In any event, that's Henry Thomas, who from 1927 to 29 released 30 records about, and which is an amazing amount of material for these years. But what's interesting is what happened after that. No one knows. John has a joke?
Yeah.
All right.
I read this today. Apparently the earliest flute musical device was found is 40,000 years old. But the other interesting thing is the earliest known pants were 20,000 years ago. So for 20,000 years, people were playing music without pants.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go. And from what I can tell on the Henry Thomas pictures, he was clothed fully. And, of course, very proficient on a number of instruments. actually, but he left home. He was a hobo, pretty much, and an itinerant songster, and he would entertain railway employees and things like that. But like I say, then Vogelin got him, Vocalion, and between 27 and 29, at least, two dozen records, and everything, gospel and ragtime and blues, and he accompanied himself on the quills, which is what you just heard, and interesting enough. So I believe that it was Don and Beloit who requested that. Now, I know John came in here wondering, how the hell could I possibly know what the quills were? I didn't look at it. Well, they were played in Bolivia. I kid you not, Peru and Bolivia. The it was a zampona there, but it was basically the quills. All right, so Don and Beloit, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. You always make me smile, you guys, and thank you so much for playing my request there.
Oh, my pleasure.
I thought that was of course I told you about that flute. Message on that board is hilarious, of course, but I thought it was a recorder, but I'm looking up quills. You taught me something I did not know. It's also called a cane fife.
Well, and like I say, they are in other places. You'd see them in Bolivia, most of the indigenous people, Peru too, and they were called something. They were called zampona. So it's the same thing. They're actually a little bigger, but you can look that up too. But in any event,
Think about it. You know, you sort of, I can sort of picture this, that you're sort of making different lengths of whatever to get the different notes. But
you're
basically making a long harmonica with this different methodology.
Yeah, it's similar. And I mentioned when John came in here that we don't know what happened to this guy. We don't. Everybody that I've seen said, well, he died in 1930, except there's no absolute evidence on this other than he stopped being around. Now, there were anecdotal reports. Somebody said they saw him in Houston in 1949. I don't know. But the bottom line is, you know, to have two dozen records on Vocalion and then suddenly disappear, I've often wondered what happened to Henry Thomas, and I have no idea.
Jeez. Well, it was a very interesting song, and Canned Heat, of course, everybody just assumed that they made that song, that didn't look into it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was amazing. It just drives the song is that quill thing at the recorder. Yeah. I call it the recorder,
right.
But it wasn't a recorder, it turned out.
Yeah, it was a quill. That's right.
Well, I got a funny idea. You know, I always try to like lighten it up for us maybe, but I got a great idea for all of us. When I say all of us, I mean all of us only people listening to the AM radio late at night, you know.
Mm.
I got a great idea, Riley, that can sort of wrap up this crazy request for songs and stuff, but like, what if we had the worst of the worst songs night or something? Where
Wait. I don't know how long you've been listening, but every year, let me tell you about this. We do the world's worst hits records, as voted on by you. And the only criteria is it has to be a hit. But it can be any decade, any genre. And we open the polls every Halloween because it's a night of horrors. And we close the polls on Wednesday right before Thanksgiving, and we play them back, top 10 as voted on by you, on Thanksgiving. It's a live show because that's a night of turkeys. So every year, I've been doing this since the 70s.
That's terrific. That's a great annual. As a new listener, Don from Beloit, I did not know that. Sorry for asking about that.
The World's Worst Hit Records Poll 2023 will open on Halloween night. Now, let's see. Is that going to be a day when I'm live on the air? If not, it'll open the closest day to it. But let's see what we got here.
Terrific.
All right. Yes. All right. Yes. Halloween this year is a Tuesday. So that will be Tuesday, October 31st. The polls will open. And then they will close on Wednesday, December 22nd. Then Thanksgiving, November 22nd. Then Thanksgiving, November 23rd, we'll play back your top 10. I never fudge the totals, and my only deal is it has to be a hit. Now, of course, if you hear one nominated by somebody else, it's important you second it if you like it, because it's a cumulative total, or if you hate it, I should
say.
Right,
right.
Yeah, and we have some that are perennial. I don't think any have made every one of them, but there are some that are damn close.
Right, sure, sure.
You know,
I wanted to talk about what you were mentioning before, this, you know, like, Dolby, you know, applied to FM when that was super popular. I don't think Dolby was applied to AM, but I had a anecdotal sort of, it sort of reminded me once again from my childhood growing up around Buffalo Niagara Falls, you know, Chum FM. I don't know if you knew much about Chum FM, but holy
well,
cow.
Of course.
So
I still have the t-shirts.
They're so great. Oh my, I had a lot of friends from Toronto later in life, but, I mean, they got 18,000, 54,000. I read this recently. And then up to 100,000 watts. I mean, you could hear them in Detroit, Cleveland, Buffalo, Niagara Falls, of course. They're the best. I mean, they're the most listened to Canadian radio station.
Yeah, their proprietor was Warren Cosford, and I still hear from him regularly. Now, by the way, 100,000 watts, that's not at all unusual. Depending upon location, there's many markets in America where the FMs have 100,000 watts ERP.
Okay.
It depends if you're a B or a C, market. If it's a C market, what we used to call a C market, you know, the Houstons, Miamis, you can have 100,000 watts, no problem. If it's a B market, they're going to limit you to 50,000 watts ERP. And then, like I was saying before, in somewhere there's so much crowding, not only broadcast radio, but everything radio, you'll even get directional FM. But 100,000 watts in many, many markets, that's standard. And there were a couple that were grandfathered well beyond that. WOOD in Grand Rapids had more power than that, and a station that no longer is using it, but there was one in Miami that had 150,000.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, of course, they later in life, in the mid-70s, they go to, like, the tallest man-made structure on the planet or something. They go to the CN Tower, and then they had to cut it back a bit. They had to cut it back to 50,000
or something. By the way, that FM station is not pumping out 100,000 watts. No one could pay the damn power bill. It's ERP, effective radiated power. Now, depending on where you are in terms of height, you may only be putting, 6,000 watts into it to get 100,000 out. It depends, on that. So it's not, and when I say nobody could pay, do 100,000 watts, obviously we had UHF stations that were doing a million. I don't know how they survived it, but financially. But nonetheless, ERP has nothing to do with what you'd call your forward power, what your transmitter was putting out.
What about this concept where the popularity of a super popular FM station then they start a baby AM station that becomes that. So Chum FM, eventually they form an AM station, 1050.
Well, no.
Did you ever see that?
1050 Chum was the granddaddy. It was the strongest damn station around as far as listeners. The FM meant nothing until, at some point in the 70s. No, it was, but it still didn't mean anything then. But the AM was always the powerhouse, 1050 Chum. So, no, it wasn't the FM started the AM. It was very much the other way around.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's why I asked you about it, Of course, I remember popular, municipal pools and lifeguards. That's all they listened to. That's all they listened to, or WKBW when they were on lifeguard duty and we're all swimming in the pool.
Buffalo,
New York or something.
Yeah, I probably have 15 different Chum t-shirts and Chum FM. And
that's great.
Yeah, and nice quality cotton. That's one of the reasons I've still got them. In any event,
I suspected you'd get a kick out of my Chum FM stories so on, the AM stories. It was just so great. It's so progressive. It had great music.
You listened to John Records Landecker on WGN, and he worked at Chum AM.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
I love listening to him. He did not know that.
He started out in Ann Arbor as a kid on a daytimer on 1050, and then ultimately he got to the blaster on 1050, Chum.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was just talking about that tonight. He was talking about his Ann Arbor days and how this the football broadcaster there did all the football games and was the big influence to make him become a radio personality.
Yes, yes. And Ollie McLaughlin, who had some great little soul labels, worked on the station. Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, keep those T-shirts.
Yeah. Oh, I still wear them. That's the funny part.
That's
I do. No, nobody, I haven't, it's been years since somebody's like recognized one, but I still wear all the old stuff.
Living on the border of Canada was so much fun because it had so many experiences that we could, you know, me and my brothers could just listen to so many different things or watch so many different TV stations as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I still wonder about, and I don't understand this to save my soul, and that is how quickly Montreal went to all French. Because, you know, I used to listen to stations in Montreal, CKGM in particular, and others, and it was, you know, definitely a market that was bilingual. But then it's like, in the blink of an eye, there's not an English speaker there. I'm like, well, what did they do? And to this day, I don't know how it changed so quickly.
Well, I can tell you that was the Pierre Trudeau, the president PM's father. You know, he was a big Quebecer, and it was the rules, and I think it had to do with the politics of the time around 1970.
Well, right? Yeah, and I understand that, but it still to have the entire populace almost disappear—that's that's startling to me. And yeah, I knew it was Quebecois, but nonetheless, yeah. Well, it was effective to say the least. And there went CKGM. And my last CKGM T-shirt said "Je t'aime Montreal." Okay, thank you. All right. So thanks for calling. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Bye bye.
All right. Appreciate it. We've got 2 more hours to spend together. We'll talk to Johnny D. We'll talk to you. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine right here on WGN Radio.
Just move on up toward your destination. Though you may find from time to time complication.
That's for Mr. Chubbs and Elizabeth in Rock Falls, Curtis Mayfield on WGN Radio.
She's just an angel who thrills me every night. She's just the one love who is my heart's delight. She's just an angel who gives me all the love. So come on, baby, love me more. Now when the night is growing old, I know it must be time to go. So hug and squeeze me with all your to my night. She's just an angel who thrills me every night. She's just the one love who is my heart's delight. She's just an angel who gives me my love. So come on, baby, love me more.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course it's the Dells. Johnny Funch is on lead. Played that because Johnny would have turned 88 yesterday. Born in 1935, and Harvey died way too young, 62 years old, 1998, pneumonia. Yeah. I think Vern Allison might still be with us. I think that might be it, actually. I don't know. Lucius McGill? I don't know. All right, so bottom line is that was never released until, of course, CDs became popular and they were cleaning out all their old vaults. And in the case of VJ, some of the early stuff. And two that I found that had never been released prior, I thought were just great. One was She's Just an Angel, which I played with Johnny Funches. The other with Marvin Jr., Now I Pray. These are just two of the best Del records ever. And how did they not release them? Well, we got them now. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And Johnny D. is in Ohio. What's going on tonight, Johnny D.?
Hello, Raleigh. What an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah, there you are again. Yes, All right.
It's always an honor and a pleasure, I'm telling you. Now, listen, what actually, you said that I want to talk about the flute, but I called for some other reason, but I was talking to John.
Yeah.
And he must be edumacating himself on Cro-Magnons.
Because they had...
Because you know...
They had bone
Cro-Magnon,
flutes.
Cro-Magnon, the one you give me trivia.
Yeah, they had bone flutes.
They had bone flute. They invented that stuff.
Now it's interesting because 50,000 years ago, I think that was Neanderthals at that point, they found a flute made, sadly, from a bear bone over 50,000 years ago, making it the oldest known instrument.
What are they going to use,
Well, no,
so
now...
One of them picked it up one time and it had a hole in it. Natural way of getting a hole in it.
Yeah.
And they sucked out all the marrow inside of there, So one of them accidentally blew into it and made a noise, all right?
Yeah.
So then it was Cro-Magnons that actually made a flute with a scale.
The Cro-Magnons, yes. Vulture bones initially.
There you go.
Yes, the vulture. And then, because sometimes the woolly mammoth... the ivory from the woolly mammoth was found in the Geisen-Kösterle cave 35,000 years ago. It wasn't found 35 years ago. The cave was around with people. Well,
35,000 years.
Yeah, right.
Well, they were considered the first Aryan.
Well, and how about this? Mute swan bones.
What?
Yeah, several years before, two flutes made of mute swan bones.
What kind of swan?
Mute, M-U-T-E, mute swan bones.
What the hell's a mute swan?
Well, it's a swan.
What's a mute swan?
It's a swan. They come in varieties. You've seen mute swans.
I know what a swan is, but I didn't know they had a first name.
Well, yeah, exactly. They do. It's, the ones you see that look so elegant with a long neck carved into the S shape.
Oh, they're like the ugly duckling that grew up to be the beautiful swan.
Yeah, that's a mute swan.
And, oh, really?
And they're the most common swans in the wild. So they're not really rare or anything like that. But there's mute swans and there's trumpeter swans. And if you're wondering, trumpeter swans have a black bill and a straighter neck than the mute swan. The trumpeter swan feathers are also shorter. So there.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I know. Cro-Magnons would have killed either one of them to make the flute.
Well, apparently they did. Mute swan bones, yeah. You betcha.
That's right.
So that's right. Five finger holes.
They weren't choosy.
Well, clearly. Yeah. Clearly. So, yes.
They weren't prejudiced. They'll kill anything.
That's right. I would have loved to have heard what they came up with.
Oh, they played all kinds of songs.
Well, we have no idea.
They made.
We have no idea what they played.
Well, they were capable because musicians. Now listen, musicians had played these flutes, and it was comparable, if just as good as any flute they'll make today.
I don't doubt it. We still don't know what they were playing in terms of what it would sound like. The Neanderthal flute is the...
Well, they were probably playing rhythm and blues.
Yeah, right, right, exactly.
Whatever you like.
Yeah, right, sure. They're playing Kick Out the Jams. The Neanderthal flute was found in Slovenia. It dates back over 50,000 years. That makes it the oldest known.
Yeah, I know, but the Neanderthals were like, what do you call them? Novices.
Yeah, well, they were like Neanderthals, yes. So,
hey, Neanderthals were a smart species, Raleigh, yeah. Really.
Well,
it's just that they didn't have the. There was like a mutation that went on in the brain, in Homo sapiens, right? Which is us.
Yeah, understand.
And it caused them to have that kind of ability to, you know, think about music, art, this, that, and the other thing. You know. But anyhow, here's why I called.
Oh.
I just told John, you know, you were right about the flute 40,000 years ago.
Yes.
I don't know what the heck he was talking about, the pants.
All right.
Do you?
Well, yes, pants were only 20,000 years ago. That means people were playing the flute without pants for 20,000 years.
That's pretty good. Mm. Yeah, but they had on a loincloth.
Maybe. How do we know?
Well, we don't know. That's okay, right. Raleigh, we don't know. I mean, how do you know that what they're saying to you on the news today is really for real?
I don't believe a word of it. I don't know what you're talking about. That's a very bad example.
They change every day.
Yeah.
Like I heard tonight that everybody is, you know, what we were taught in school and what I learned or what I remember, the universe is 13.9 or 13.8 billion years old. What I would have said if somebody asked me that. What they're saying today that they figure it's to be 27 billion years old.
Oh, what's a few billion among friends?
That's what I'm saying. It changes all the time, you know. But, no, here's what I was wondering. You're saying that some fool doesn't like my request of, I can't do it.
I played that. But the bottom line is that future requests will all be stuff I like or fall squarely in the obscure R&B and soul genre. And I will be the arbiter of this.
Okay, well, here's what's up. I went back and listened to July the 12th.
1939, yes, I agree. Right. By the way, last Wednesday was July the 12th, 1939, and I should have played that. You're absolutely right. I didn't play it because I
went back and listened to see, and you didn't.
No, I didn't play it. Didn't even think about it. Yep. Yep.
All right, so I want to request that, and I hope it'll pass get by you.
Well,
you
might have to wait till next year. I don't know.
Well, man.
Yeah, July the 12th.
I can listen to. But anyhow, listen, so I'm thinking, one other thing. This last night I was listening, almost dozed off. I was losing interest, but.
Well, it happens.
Anyhow, Sam from Gurney's, is it?
Yes, he's going to send me his tape of his songs in an Elvis mode.
Cool. Like, when's that coming?
I don't know, whenever he emails it.
Well, I heard him say, because I just caught it, I had to go back and listen to it on the replay. He said he was going to dedicate it to me and Lila and Stacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, I'm so glad to be grouped in with such nice young women and nice young ladies.
There you are, yes.
And you too, you and John, you say.
All right. Well, as soon as Sam sends it, it'll be on.
I got another song I want to request over here.
Well, we'll see. What is it?
Are you there?
I don't know.
Listen, Stormy Monday by Bobby Blueblatt. Will you play that?
I'll certainly play Stormy Monday. I'm not sure by who, but I'll play it.
All right, very good.
All right.
So I figured you'll play that.
Yeah, that's right. That'll make the cut. I'll find a version I like. Okay, thanks.
All righty then.
Okay,
bye
good.
Bye.
Okay, bye. So, absolutely, we'll find some of that. We'll get to JT and Aurora James on the South Side, and there's room for you, too, right here on WGN Radio.
It's gone and started raining. I'm lonesome as a man can be. It's gone and started raining. I'm lonesome as a man can be. 'Cause every time it rains, I realize what you mean to me. If you read my letters, baby, you sure must have read my mind. If you read my letters, baby, you sure must have read my mind.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the original Stormy Monday Blues, 1942. It's Earl Hines, Billy Eckstein, Bob Crowder. And then the one that Johnny D's thinking about is Call It Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. The original of that's T-Bone Walker, and I'll play it next. Little Milton had a nice version of that as well, and many, many others, including the Allman Brothers and, of course, Bobby Bland. So, but before Call It Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad, we had Stormy Monday Blues, which was Earl Hines and Billy Eckstein. So now you know on WGN Radio. Okay. So, moving right along with lightning speed, JT and Aurora, what's up tonight, JT?
How are you?
Can't complain. What you got going on?
I'm trying to find who did a song called Falling Back in Love with You. It's a piano blues, and it's got nice vocals with it.
Do you have any words?
The bridge kind of goes, because you've got the power over me.
Huh.
To be anything you want to be. And then it segues back into just falling back in love with you.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyhow, well, I don't remember. I've heard it by a number of people, but I just can't recall who did it.
I don't know.
There was the last one I heard was a girl, a female. She's a pianist and a soloist, and she did a great job with it.
Wow. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to tell us. I want to know.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Falling
no,
Back
great.
In Love with You. That's the name of the song.
You got the... all right. So maybe I'll try to do it with lyrics or something.
If you can find it. If you can't, I'll
understand. Well, I won't find it until somebody tells me what it is. But if lyrics come up, maybe it will. I want to hear it now. So hopefully we will.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
Good.
Thanks. Appreciate
thanks a lot.
It. Yeah. So Falling Back in Love because you got the power over me. I don't know. And of course, one of you does though. So that would be 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. So let's see. James is on the south side, man of 4,832 links. All right, James, what's up, my man?
How you doing?
Well, I can't.
I know you've been asked that already quite a bit.
Yeah. So, yes.
Okay. Well, I was going to talk about last night when the food thing got me thinking about ones that aren't around anymore, or at least not in my area. You can't find a Jack in the Box in my area.
Yeah, they're still big in the West, huge.
Yeah, I think. And let's see. Dogs and Suds. I didn't get a chance to get out to. This is a little too far of my bailiwick at the moment. But let's see. I'm trying to think of another one. That's okay. I'm saying if I think long enough, I'll probably. Oh, let's not forget the Long John Silver's is hardly around in this area either.
Yeah, most of the fish places. For instance, Skipper's was big for a while, and I haven't seen Skipper's in a while. Now, in Washington State, Ivar's, I still see Ivar's, but nowhere else.
Yeah, I heard there's like one Arthur Treacher's
really?
Left.
Really? One?
In Ohio.
Really?
Yeah, there was a YouTube channel, I guess these guys go to certain restaurants that are unique, and it was an Arthur Treacher's. I think there's one left. I think it's Ohio.
Apparently there are two standalone Arthur Treachers remaining. I just looked this up, and started in Columbus, where Wendy's is of course from, 1969, and let's get to where these last two are. And of course, like all of them, you start to read about the history, and there's vulture capitalists at some point, and that's the beginning of the end. Okay. Here is the one you're talking about is in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
Okay.
Now, several Salvatore pizzerias in Rochester have attached Arthur Treacher franchises to their restaurants, and they're still in operation. The Twin Oaks convenience store in Pomeroy maintains an attached Arthur Treacher's, but the only standalone is Cuyahoga Falls. So in February 23, one on Rockside Road in Garfield Heights opened just in time for the Lenten season.
Okay, the one big time I had experience with it, my aunt took me to it when I was, oh my goodness, like 9 or 10 years old. Oh, this was long. Yeah, and it still was a great memory. Oh, okay, there was something else, but hey, okay.
Hang on a minute, don't go away. We have to put food on hold for a moment and find out what's going on in the world at large, and we'll be back to food in moments right here on WGN Radio.
They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. Wednesday's worse, and Thursday's also sad. Flies on Friday, and Saturday I go out to play. Eagle flies on Friday, and Saturday I go out to play. Sunday I go to church, then I kneel down and pray.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's T-Bone Walker, and that's the original. They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. And there were about over 200 cover versions of that, including the Bobby Bland one that Johnny Dean mentioned from 1962. But that's the original. So now you realize that it was sort of an answer record to the Earl Hines and Billy Eckstein. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to get back to James on the South Side and food. Love food. But Tommy in Chicago knows that song. So, all right, what is it?
Hello, how are you tonight?
All right, how about yourself?
Feeling good, listening to you.
Well, thank you.
And that song that the guy mentioned was Lonnie Mack. I don't know if he did it originally, Falling Back in Love with You, because he did like cover stuff.
Okay.
Like Memphis, back
yeah,
in the day.
Of course, of course. Really? And, okay. I probably have it then. I probably have it right here on this computer.
Yeah. I bet you do, and I bet you got Memphis too.
Well, of course,
fraternity label, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, out of Cincinnati. So yeah, absolutely. And his version of Rings, I always liked for whatever reason. But
Rings?
Yeah, the Rings. You remember Rings? Maybe.
Nope.
All right. Well, here, let me play a little for it, and you'll recognize it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, see, Cimarron did it originally.
Yeah, I remember.
But I thought Lonnie Mack just nailed it, and of course, you know, nobody ever played it. So yeah, all right. So now I got to look for that Lonnie Mack song. And thank you.
All right, thank you, Robbie.
Appreciate
Great show tonight again.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Okay, good.
Thanks, so, down through.
Yeah, so all right. So good to hear from Tommy. He nailed it, so let's see. And that Lonnie Mack song is not on this computer, but that doesn't mean it's not on the other one sitting next to me. So I'll look around here in the next few minutes and see what we can do about that. Good. All right. I actually, when I was looking, you know, quasi through the lyrics I had, a Lonnie Mack song came up, and I thought, nah, it can't be it. Well, but yes, it can. So back to James and food, talking fish here. And, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Most of them, like Skippers, there's only five left, and they're all in Washington State. Ivars, they never were outside of Washington State. They're really good. My favorite, though, is Moby Dick's, and they're only in the Louisville area. They have 14 of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think the one that I used to hear that was a little more national was Captain D. Now,
right.
I don't know what happened during the pandemic with them.
Right. What did? Let's find out. I don't know, but you're right. I remember that, too. Let's see if there's any of them left. All right. Well, they have a website, so they must be serving. So they have a menu. So let's see. Yeah, they're still around. They're headquartered in Nashville. And, you know, 1969 is when most of these started. It's so weird that one year seems to be like most of these fish places. And
I think they figured, okay, they said, well, what's the beef? Well, we're going fishing.
I guess, but that's an awful lot of a lot of people. But yeah, there were all sorts of things in the ownership of that were weird, as far as that goes. And I think it's now all private equity. But there are more than 500 locations. How about that?
Well, they're doing better than most of them.
I guess.
Let's see. Because Red Lobster, it's still around. It all depends where you go. Okay, now, I did get to Red Lobster, last year.
But, you know, that's really different. Now you're talking like a sit-down restaurant, not like fast food fish.
Yeah. That's a little different,
yeah.
And so that's like a step up, basically.
Well, or step down, depending on how you look at it, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and and I, of course, had to, about a few of those stories. I know a couple of them probably caught your interest besides the aliens.
Oh, absolutely. The pastor who urged people to rethink God if they believe Biden won. I just looked at that headline. I thought, well, that's an interesting sermon. So yeah.
And I said, let's not mix the two.
Right. Bad enough.
That's bad cocktail.
Right. Bad enough the way it is. We don't need to say it's the Lord. Yeah. So that was interesting. But many, of course, destruction and grisly discoveries. Oh my God! You know, the hell with space junk when you can have storage units with the Long Island serial killer involved. So I don't know that we'll find out much more about that right now, but the hits just keep on coming.
Then there's the woman who was abducted, and her family came and said, please, pleading for her. she comes home and doesn't, and the police are like wondering what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to say she was fighting for her life.
Yeah. Now, of course, when I saw the headline of Tiger Woods' ex-girlfriend suing his estate, for a moment there I thought, what, is he dead? I thought she'd sue him. So, suing the estate, who allegedly has violated, as far as she's concerned, the Landlord-Tenant Act. That'll be an interesting little fight.
Apparently, that one kind of is kind of like trying drawing to a close, because apparently she's hoping that they'll just let the other suit. She had two different suits.
Right, right. One was thrown out, I think.
Yeah. And so it's all weird when you think about it. Oh, and your friend, the Murdoch thing.
Well, oh, yeah, they're talking about not separating some of the cases from Alex. I hope that mother will get her day in court, you know, about the son. But I think you're talking more about Alex's offspring than Alex.
We'll because now, I mean, apparently his surviving son does not really want to spend too much quality time.
Yeah.
It's like, because obviously, kind of hard is when somebody actually whacked your brother and your mother and seemed to think that somehow he was one of his problems.
Yeah. So, it's... As always, yeah. links and links and links, and there's no shortage of people behaving badly.
Today was National Hot Dog Day. Yeah, I did a chance on that.
Oh, did you celebrate?
Yeah, Portillo's.
Oh yes, you know we have them here too.
After the guy sold this, but he still has like at least a stake in it, but sold his controlling interest. They expanded and they've done managed this quite well. His brother, ironically, owns the Brown's Chicken franchise.
Interesting. Well, there you have it.
Yeah. Yep. We won't say flip the bird.
And then, of course, going back to Murdoch for a minute, it's very, very interesting that apparently there's no shortage of miniseries and reality shows, but we've got a series doing a casting call for the gal who was killed in the boat accident.
So, yeah, and I'm like thinking... I can see why the family would be would feel a little bit uncomfortable with this.
Yeah,
actress, I would think, would feel uncomfortable with this.
Well, when you read the description, the actress must be comfortable floating and splashing in water. Well, apparently, Hot Take Murders. They're casting right now. And unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now you don't. Apparently, you don't get a lot of money for floating in the water because it said $200. Now I don't know.
Yeah, but
is that an hour? How many hours are we talking?
I think it's because it's a cameo role, I suspect.
Oh, well, so there you have it. Yeah, I'm sure the family is horrified. So.
And by the way, speaking of apparently Von Sleuth, the guy suspecting Natalie Holloway, has finally at least gotten back over to these shores, whether or not he's got any more to say besides what he has said, where he tried to basically blackmail the family.
You know, it's interesting because I swear this is one of those things like an alternate timeline or something, but I swear I thought he was dead.
Somebody tried to pretty much whack him in a prison.
Right, in Peru. In Peru, Joran Vandersloot. I thought he was out of the picture, so apparently he's not.
Yeah, he's still, and they're hoping that maybe, hey, this brush with death will at least maybe shake your conscience.
Oh, there's no conscience here. None whatsoever. Fascinating.
Yeah, I suspect conscience, well, unfortunately, maybe he a gizzard.
No. None of that. But all right, wonderful links. Thank you, James.
Let's not talk about Harry and Meghan. We'll leave that for another time.
Believe me, yes, I saw a volume of emails on that. Yes, we'll debate next time whether he is going to seek a divorce or not seek a divorce. And yes, we'll save that. Thanks, appreciate it.
Okay, you take care. And John is sounding better. It sounds like he is on the road to recovery.
I sure hope recovery. So. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Right. My prayers for him.
Thank you.
Okay. So, you take care.
You too. Yeah, it'll be a long haul, but he is doing better day by day. He doesn't think so because, of course, he's impatient, and who would blame him, but he is. All right. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Fran and Austin. There's room for you too. Now I got to look up this Joran van der Sloot, who I swear, well, I forget what they call that now, where, you know, alternate timelines or whatever, but I swear I thought this guy was dead. I guess no, he lives to stand trial again. Exciting stuff coming up on WGN Radio.
Sitting round making rhymes while thinking about the good old times. Guess I'm due for something new. I think I'll fall back in love with you. Looking up but feeling down, hanging round this same old town, doing things like I used to do, like falling back in love with you.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. It is Lonnie Mack. All right, so thanks to Tommy for that. That's from the Strike Like Lightning album, and he wrote it in 1985, and Marsha Ball covered it in 2008. A couple other people did too, but I think that's the female we're thinking of. So yeah, Lonnie Mack, not bad. All right, so we'll get to Fran from Austin, Henry from Salem and Wisconsin, and there's room for you too. Next hour, we've got another hour of this right here on WGN Radio.
No, I love you like I do. No, I do. Don't know why I love you.
da 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 da
James, Dion and the Belmonts, I Wonder Why. Yeah, it was my favorite. 1958 was actually a flip side, believe it or not. Yeah, Teen Angel was the A side. You don't even want to hear it. All right, but I play it because Dion DiMucci turned 84 yesterday. Yeah, guy least likely, given his history and drug interactions and everything else. If anybody were to say, you know, would he be alive at 84? No, not a chance. But yes, indeed, living well and in South Florida. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. JT calls back. It was JT and Aurora who wanted that Lonnie Mack record, and now you know JT.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much to Thomas, I believe.
Yeah, Tommy, and, yes. He's the man.
Yeah, Marsha Ball was the lady that I heard last.
Okay, there you go.
Do it. Yeah. How about another Lonnie Mack? How about Oreo Cookie Blues?
I don't know. We'll see. I'll
okay,
consider
thanks.
It. All right, thanks.
Thank you much.
Appreciate it. All right, so okay, good bye-bye. Deal. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, back to food in Fran and Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. I'm gonna get fat just listening to this show these days.
I guess. Yeah, I know. I get off the air and I'm so hungry. But, you know, the bad news is, or maybe it's the good news for my waistline, I don't know. Usually what I'm hungry for, I'm not going to find.
Yeah, of course. It's not anything you have in the house. It's something that you've got to go out and get.
And most of it you can't get unless you could move back the clock.
Right. Yeah, most things aren't open, and even if they were, the buses don't run. And
No, but I mean, most of the food that I'm lusting for here stopped being available 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Oh, now I get you. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I know you guys were talking about Arthur Treacher's. I used to love that place.
Yeah.
And fish places in general, it's hard to find, like, that have that, like,
it is
fish and chips.
Yeah, no,
like
you're absolutely right. We were talking about that a few weeks ago around here. Used to be, and like I say, still like in Louisville, they still have the Moby Dicks, and in Seattle and Spokane, they still have the Ibars. But there really aren't many, and there aren't any really good fast food fish places.
And the thing that makes me mad is that during Lent, Wendy's has a really good fish sandwich, but they only have it during Lent. And Jack in the Box also has one, but they only have it during Lent.
Wow. I know you can still get the fish sandwich at McDonald's, but okay, I know.
Yeah, you can get those, and
But really, so Wendy's doesn't have an all year fish sandwich? Oh no,
nope.
They used to. You know, 30 years.
They don't.
30 years ago.
unless they brought it back, they don't. Because we used to go and get it. We lived near a Wendy's, and then we went to get it, and they said, "Oh no, that's only for Lent."
Okay, now I'm looking this up. What fast food places have fish sandwiches? Because I mean, this is the kind of stuff expiring minds want to know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, because it just seems. Here's somebody who said, I tried 7 fast food fish sandwiches. All right, well, where were they? In order. Some Arby's, some Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's. So you're thinking Wendy's doesn't have them all year. So now we got to go look at Wendy's menu. I don't know if it's regional.
Yeah, because I'm pretty, unless they brought them back, because I know they told us, the employee there said, no, we only have them during Lent.
All right. So.
And it's the same with Jack in the Box. All of a sudden, it wasn't on their menu anymore. So it's like it was on the menu for Lent, and then it wasn't.
Now, that's interesting. I'm looking at the Wendy's menu, and I assume this would have to come under the classics heading. Let me try that. Let's see. No, I don't know.
If you can find it and they still have it, I will be very happy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You'll go tomorrow. No, I don't see this. this is a travesty, is what this is. All right.
I know.
They had something that looked like fish, but it turned out to be chicken. All right. So. Yeah, lots of chicken. Of all types, but none of this.
Oh, yeah. Lots of chicken, well, lots of pizza, lots of, you know.
All right.
And then another thing, I can't find a good hot dog anymore.
Oh, Portillo's, but they probably don't have one near you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I thought I heard you talking about some hot dog place.
Well, Sonic's, of course, you know.
Sonic's, but I don't like the hot dogs they use.
Well, of course not. Oh, if you're talking about quality food, I have no idea. But, you know, but yeah. So,
you gotta cover it with, and the last time we got them, they didn't put enough chili on them. We usually get them with the chili cheese ones.
Okay.
Because it kind of, I don't know, I don't really like the hot dogs they use.
So it
makes them taste better if you put in a lot of chili and cheese.
Here we have 16 solid bets for hot dogs in Austin. All right, let's see. T-Loke Sonora hot dogs. The Allendale food trailer. Oh, that'll be convenient. All right, let's move on.
Oh, yeah.
Nick's to Taqueria. I don't think so. On East 12th Street. Let's move on. The Delray Cafe. Oh, it's a Detroit-style food truck. No, we want a location.
I don't want a food truck.
Yeah, right. There's a cart downtown that has the Diddy Dog. All right. Mission Dogs. They closed their physical restaurant in 2022. But they're still roaming in their carts. No.
I need a restaurant. You walk in and buy a hot dog.
Right. This is really weird, but Z's Wiener System, same deal. It roves. All right. That's really surprising to me. Okay, there's a downtown bar, Casino El Camino. I don't know. I couldn't speak to it. Of course, if the people are drinking while they're eating, I don't know that I trust their reviews. Let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, more
they
trucks.
They used to have, unfortunately it closed, they used to have a good place called Dog Almighty.
Ah. All right. Well, this is South Austin. That won't be convenient. Let's see. Still checking. One moment. Wrigley's South Dogs. No, that won't help either. Black Sheep Lodge, South Austin. No, come on. They got to be near you. Frazier's Long and Low, Riverside. That's a bar also, though.
That's South Austin.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's a bar.
El Perrito ATX. I don't know. Doesn't look right. So Midway Dogs. And that's far South Austin food truck. Just swell. All right. So those are the 16 that won. Now here's Yelp. I don't know that we trust Yelp, but we have 10 reviews for the best hot dogs. Oh God.
Okay.
The first one says Papa John's Pizza. That can't be right, can it?
I never got a hot dog from a pizza place.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But more of this T-Loke Sonora hot dogs. But where are they?
Where is that?
I think it's a food truck. I really do. I think this is a problem. This is a real problem.
Yeah, we love food trucks around here. I mean, I see this.
Yeah. Buku's Ali, apparently, or maybe all, depending, I can't tell. I think you're out of, Korean hot dogs. I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, I somebody from Austin is going to have to call and recommend something, because clearly I'm failing you.
Yeah, well, if they don't have it, they don't have it. It's, you know, I don't know. It's like, and fish places, I really can't see that. Fish is expensive, and my mom told me that during the Depression, fish was one of the cheaper things they could get.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it was also one of the things you were allowed to get, you know, like with World War II and all that.
Right, but, yeah. You couldn't get, you know, a lot of beef and things like that, so they ate a lot of fish, and I could go with that. I love fish, but, you know, now it's more expensive, but I just want... go in and get some fish and chips.
Right. Now I'm on a mission to find some fast food place that's national that has good fish, and I don't know where this will be. So obviously Wendy's struck out. So does Arby's have fish?
I don't know. Arby's, I think Arby's might still have...
They have a spicy and
now
crispy.
Now that I think about it, I remember that it might have been during Lent, too.
No, they say they have a spicy and crispy fish sandwich, but I don't want one spicy. But it does say...
No, I want a...
It does say limited availability. Oh, dear.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yeah, they advertised it during Lent.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is just wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Well, this is a travesty. I'll have to work on this and see what we can do.
And also, I have a couple of requests. They are R&B requests.
All right, what do you got?
The Hunter Gets Captured by the Game.
Oh, Marvelettes, all right.
I love that song.
Yeah, me too. What
and,
else?
And the Shirelles' Foolish Little Girl.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's one of my, certainly my favorite Shirelles record. And the Cookies did it too, you know.
Yeah, you played, yeah. I had asked for that song about a year or so, maybe more than that. No, it was longer than that because my mom was still alive. Oh. Anyway, I requested it and you played both versions of it and I still prefer the Shirelles.
That's who you will hear coming up.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. All right, so we'll get to that. We'll talk old restaurants with Henry in Salem, Wisconsin. We're going back to Dion and memories with Bill in Chicago. And JT's going to chime in about Long John's, and I'm going to look for other people who have fish sandwiches. Yes, because they should be available. Yeah, well, we'll see. Coming up on WGN Radio.
You broke his heart and made him cry. And he's been blue since then. Now he's found somebody new. And you want him back again.
Foolish little girl, fickle little girl. You didn't want him when he wanted you. He's found another love. It's her he's dreaming of. And there's not a single thing that you can do.
But I love him.
No, you don't. It's just your pride that's hurt.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it's not the original 45 version, but it absolutely is the Shirelles and a nice version of that for Foolish Little Girl, which is a fine song. Certainly my favorite of anything the Shirelles did. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Henry is in Salem, Wisconsin. What's going on, Henry?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Getting hungry listening to your food commentary.
Yeah, boy, I tell you what, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, Raleigh, I was wondering if you ever had the chance to eat at Cock Robin.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was one of my favorite places.
Really?
Man.
Okay,
the,
yeah. And that's
the
gone.
The one in the millions, the shakes.
Yeah, that's...
And the steak
right.
burgers.
And of course, the ice cream.
Yeah, they had it in the squares. They dip it in the squares.
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
really great stuff, man.
Yeah.
We used to always go there with my family, you know. It was near the cemetery, so we'd go on the weekend, and very good stuff. And you know what else I was going to ask you, Raleigh? I don't know if you'd ever been to downtown Waukegan, but there was a place called Pip's down there.
I don't know.
A fish place.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, it was probably about maybe about 25 years ago. There was like they'd be like about 10, 12 inches long,
uh-huh.
Square, I mean, just fantastic. And then there seemed to be a few more of them popped up, and then all of a sudden they were all gone, man.
Yeah, isn't that always the way, just when you start to like them?
Yeah, I know, and then you get a taste for the stuff, and, you know, it's nothing seems to compare. It's just the way it is, I guess.
Oh, I know. I know. And that's why I say there should be some law that if they fed us at some point in time at a restaurant and they go out of business, they should make the recipes public. So the rest of us
can still eat this. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Then you have to go through the hassle of making it, you know?
Yeah, well, or get somebody else to. But, I mean, you know, even convince somebody to make it for you. But, I mean, without the recipe, we have absolutely nothing. So
that's true. But I just wanted to tell you that we enjoy your show immensely, man. It's every night is better and better, man. You guys are doing a fantastic job.
Well, thank you for calling. You make it better when you call, so do it more often.
Yeah, first-time caller, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, and I'll count on hearing from you again.
Thank you, Riley.
All right, thanks, Henry.
Good night.
All right, so we welcome Henry from Salem, Wisconsin. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. All right, so we have Bill in Chicago. What's going on, Bill?
The song you played a while ago, though, with the Dionne Bellman.
Yes.
That brought back a lot of memories. Wife and I, we'd going together in high school in Indianapolis, Indiana, when she passed away, it was 7 years ago now, or 6 years ago. But anyways, we went to a sock hop.
Yeah.
In Indianapolis at a school called Beech Grove. And a little history at that time, we were more or less an interracial couple. And Beech Grove was strictly...
Oh, Beech Grove was South Indianapolis. I know exactly what Beech Grove was.
Okay,
hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll leave you right there in Beech Grove. Yeah, man, that becomes dangerous. And all that and more will come up in the next half hour of the Raleigh James Show on WGN Radio. No, we played that before. Now, where were we? Oh, I know exactly what we wanted. Fran's other request.
Every day things change, and the world puts on a new
James. The Marvelettes, Smokey wrote it and produced it in 1966 on Tamla. Yeah, the hunter gets captured by the game. Fine stuff. All right, so we're talking with Bill. We left him in Beech Grove, south of south side of Indianapolis there. All right, so pick it up there.
Yeah, anyway, I was a good friend with, we were good friends with the DJ that run the sock hop at night, and he invited us to come out there. And we went out, and the first song he played was that song by Dionne.
I wonder why.
I don't know why he played that. It was the first song, and her and I danced that song. And after that, I could never get her back because all the guys wanted to dance with her the rest of the night.
Ah.
And we finally got back together towards the end. And you're talking about food places. I didn't know what years you. I knew you were in Indianapolis for a while. I don't know what years it was now.
Yeah, mid-70s.
Did you ever go to Merrill's Heidegger?
Yes, of course. We've talked about that before.
Oh, you did? Okay, I didn't remember if we had or not.
Absolutely.
And the Mandarin Inn on there, 38th and College.
Yes, absolutely.
And of course, well, my favorite spot, because I was a teenager and had a lot of money, was the White Castle, 16th in Illinois. you could go in and buy 10 White Castles.
For a dollar.
And get French fries, and they gave you the Coke free.
Yeah. No,
you
know, I know.
Large Coke you got free, right?
Yes, belly bombers, enough to kill anybody.
Yeah, right. And another good restaurant was downtown with La Fendrick's.
Uh-huh.
Right next to the Greyhound bus station in the old Blue Cross building.
Yeah.
That's a hotel now.
Well, all of downtown now. I mean, it's gotten so high dollar, it really has changed.
Well, yeah, well, the bus station, I know where it used to be. I forget what the hotel, a big fancy hotel.
Yeah, it's all fancy.
Took over that
space,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just thought it made me of me when you played that song.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is great, and it was that was the first record Laurie got behind. People say it was the first record that Laurie ever released. It wasn't, but it was the first thing they got behind, and it was a B-side, which is interesting because some lists you'll see it listed as the A-side, but if you look at the record numbers, you'll know it was a B-side.
Yeah, it was, but I forget what the A-side was, but I know that song real well.
Yes, exactly.
I don't remember the flip side right now.
Oh, well, it was called Teen Angel, but it's not the same song.
No, it's not the same song. Right.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, that was it. Teen Angel. All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Bill.
Okay.
All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And let's see what we're doing here. James is in Oregon. What's going on, James?
Hey, good evening or good morning. Yeah. Hey, you're talking about all these food places and fish places, too. I know in Illinois and Kentucky, and I think Florida and throughout, is a place called Culver's. And they have what they call butter burgers and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
But they also make fish sandwiches and fish platters and all kinds of stuff. And another good thing about their place is they said they could never find a good root beer, so they developed their own.
No, I'm looking at that. Yeah, Culver's family. There are Culver's everywhere. And they have they're everywhere now. They're pretty much expanded. But they appear to have a fish sandwich. Well, guess what? I'll probably try tomorrow. Thank you for that.
Okay. Just threw it out there for y'all.
Yeah.
And if y'all for a good barbecue in Florida, there's Sunny's all over the place.
There are. You're right.
Yep.
And I guess at Culver's, you get your choice of walleye or cod. All right. Well,
yeah, I think the walleye is only certain times of the year for some reason. But,
well, I'm heading for it. I'll let you know tomorrow night.
Okay, I'll listen. All right.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully I can find one, and I'm sure I can, and hopefully they still have it. All right, so we got Willie in Lombard. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
Hey, Willie.
Hey, I was calling about Culver's as well.
Ah.
And I know
Oh, no, you're digitizing out on me. Your cell phone is fighting you. Try again.
Okay. You still hear me?
Yes, now I do.
Okay. Yeah, I was there and I had I didn't have the sandwich, but I had the dinner.
Uh-huh.
And they have different what is it, different sizes.
Okay.
For the dinners. And I know Burger King has fish, but I'm not sure if that's year-round.
Well, they claim they are. Now, there's a Burger King across the street from me. I can try that. There's a Culver's about 10, 12 miles from here. I'll try it. I'll report back tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, again, I've got a couple of things to talk about, but I'll save them for another day.
Well, call me tomorrow night.
I'll try to do that.
Do that, and call earlier, and we'll get to you, I promise. I want to hear all about it.
Right. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
All right, so, yeah, Culver's, how about that? So I see one, like I said, about 10, 12 miles from here. I'll check that out, And, of course, Burger King, I'll check that out. What I really hate anymore, and it's really started in the pandemic when everybody started to lessen their hours. You know, no longer was Walmart 24 hours and no longer were grocery stores 24 hours. And restaurants started closing earlier and earlier. And it seems like it's not coming back. That's right. The days of 24/7 service are sadly lacking. And I've you know, seen interviews like with the Walmart people. No, we have no plans about staying open after 11. What a shame. Yeah. So I don't know what it was, because originally the theory was, well, we got to be stocking the shelves anyway. Why not be open to customers? All I can figure, maybe it was, a lot of loss, something like shoplifting or things like that. I don't know. I can't imagine. But apparently it's not coming back. Yes. And how I miss the plethora of food choices that were always 24 hours a day. Yeah. So 888-876-5593. And JT in Aurora, coming back on Long John. So what do you got for me, JT? No, I think we actually talked to him before. Okay, sorry about that. But I know we haven't talked to Stephanie yet, so we will now. Stephanie, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, all right, thanks. I'm feeling better now. I'm talking to you. I'm kind of up and up and down. I'm kind of a little bit sad. But the reason I called is for, first off, you know, I started listening to your show. I turned it on, but what really got me hooked was all of the R&B and doo-wop and soul bumpers. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, I love that kind of music. I absolutely do. I love gospel. There's other musics, too. And but if I just heard a bunch of, as much as I love different types of music, if I heard all mishmash or what, I mean, that's kind of derogatory. I'm trying to think of, I can't think of the word I want, but, you know, the fact that it was doo-wop and R&B and really great stuff that you don't normally hear, really rare stuff. I'm like, oh, God. And then what got me to call was when you played What a Man by the woman named Linda, and I can't think what her last name is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, from Gainesville.
We talked about her and Linda Lindell. Story, and I'm like,
right, yeah, Linda Lindell, sure.
Linda, yeah, oh, my God, that just blew me away. So stick to your guns.
I'll tell you, I was very surprised, but I probably got 15 email today from people saying, thank God. So, so request time is over unless it's something that's I like and it's probably got to be R&B or soul
or something. Yeah. You know,
it could be Brazilian, but I'm not expecting too many of those.
You know, I have to tell you, I mean, I just was like, come on. I find myself yelling at the, I mean, I love all the different callers. I love the variety. I love the way you interact. And I also love the fact that I keep an open heart. Especially with one particular person reaching out to somebody, I was really touched. And I think about folks, but it's like, you know, if you say no or what, no for an answer. I mean, I made a couple requests. I think I asked for Thunder and Lightning by Shy Coltrane. He's just like, nope, you didn't like that. Whatever. I don't care,
Exactly.
It's your show, And you played Babs Tino for me, that was great. I mean, I'm fascinated with her. I can't find a whole lot about her, but, wow. And I do have a couple requests. Bobby Blue Bland, I Pity the Fool, or I Wouldn't Trade a Dog the Way You Treated Me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Norm Fox and the Robberies, Tell Me Why.
All right. I was afraid you were going to say Pizza Pie. All right. Tell Me Why is fine.
Okay. I heard your voice kind of go down. You don't like my,
No, Tell Me Why is fine, but I thought, oh, no, don't tell me Pizza Pie is coming. Okay.
Oh, God, no. No.
Okay.
But I love Bobby Blue Bland, but, I Pity the Fool. Boy, you hear the the bitterness and the anger and that, oh, God. And but I wouldn't treat it. Yeah, I love Bobby Blue Bland. I do. I absolutely do.
All right.
But I love, yeah. But anyway, I'll be okay. I'm just, you know, what helps me is I'm thinking about some of the things I'm dealing with. And by the way, John does sound great. He sounds strong. And I'm thinking about him and thinking about, you know, okay, he's, you know, slowly, he's day by day. And there's things I need to do, you know, especially, want to keep my, whatever independence I have. You know, we're interdependent, but also independence in terms of being able to function on your own and living the way you want to live, you know?
Yes.
So, but he sounds great. He really does, you know? So, but I think what helps me sometimes is that, I'm dealing with stuff that I may not like or it's challenging, but I think about the fact that there are about people that are dealing with way, way, way worse, you know?
You know, that's always the case, and it comes back to the Lord will not give you a burden you cannot handle.
Right. They're handling it, and I'm just like, okay, all right, you know. What helps me, too, I think, is I don't fight it's kind of a mindfulness technique, but I observe myself closely. I don't judge or beat up on myself, but if you observe what's going on with you, with your, you know, your thoughts, your feelings, whatever, it's a lot easier to deal with them, and especially, you can deal with them, you know. And when you're fighting yourself or beating up on yourself, it's a waste of energy, and you're not going anywhere. But I find, especially with bad feelings, if I just say, all right, yeah, this is how I'm feeling right now, and I just feel it and watch it or whatever, it passes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. You know, you sort of say, okay, I'm having a pity party now. I deserve
exactly.
this. I'm going to do everything to make myself miserable and listen to all those songs that make me cry and all that, and then it'll be over. But right now I'm having a pity party. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, and also, you know, feelings are they're a form of intelligence, too.
So,
and I'm like, I made some goofs. I'm going to be paying for the consequences, but hey, so, but it's okay, you know, one step at a time. So I hope y'all are doing okay. I hope Leah's doing okay. I didn't hear her out here when I've listened. Loved listening to Fran, especially the other night when she was talking about what she was dealing with. And, you know, it's a joy to hear people on your show and to listen to you. It's really a gift. And so thank you very much.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah. And you'll hear I Pity the Fool. Don Roby wrote that, actually. And, of course, Bobby Brown was the original. And you'll hear it next.
Thank you, sweetie.
All right.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Appreciate it. All right.
All right.
So all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
I pity the fool. I say I pity the fool. Well, I pity the fool, yeah. I said I pity the fool that falls in love with you and expect you to be true. Oh, I pity the fool. Look at the people. You make a fool of me. Look at the people. I know you're wondering what they're doing. They're just standing there watching you make a fool of me. Oh, I pity the fool. I pity the fool that falls in love with you. She'll break.
break your heart one day, and then she'll laugh and walk away. Oh, I've been a fool.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Bobby Blue Bland. I pitied a fool. I said that Don Robey wrote it. And well, he certainly owned it, but he probably bought it most likely from Joe Medwick. And Joe was interesting in that he would sell stuff to Don Robey or anybody else for, you know, like $5 a pop. I think the most he ever got for a song was probably $100. And most of the people who were around at the time said, no, it was Joe Medwick who wrote that. But regardless, I Pity the Fool was a wonderful song. And yeah, like I say, over 24 people recorded it. I think after Bobby Bland, the next one was about 3 years later, Ernestine Anderson. And then even Stevie Wonder recorded it. And, you know, the Butterfield Blues Band and on, Benny Lattimore, you name it. It was one of those that became very often recorded by a wide variety of people. But nonetheless, the best one, of course, is the original, Bobby Bland. I Pity the Fool. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and that's going to take us to Eric in Decatur. Eric, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you, Raleigh. Thank you. Now, going back to, like, about the first hour of your show, on the bumper music, and you were kind of doing a tribute tonight, I believe, for a guy that passed away, or was that it? Or anyway, like in the first hour, you played the song Coming Back Into It, and it was, and you liked the song, but it had the same melody. I just don't remember the name that you said the song was, but you probably know it. It was the same as the song Good Night, Sweetheart. And I mean, because I'd heard the song for the first time in my life when you played it tonight. And as it was playing and I was listening to it on the radio, it was like,
well,
big parts of that.
Okay, I think we're talking about the Dells, and she's just an angel, because Johnny Funchess is, of course, long dead, but that was probably the first thing I played. I don't know. Let's have a little of that, and you can tell me, because, hell, I don't remember.
She's just an angel who thrills me every night.
And the more I listen to the song, I mean, that was just a hook that sounds similar but not exact. And it's like I was, yep, the more I listen to it.
Well,
similar.
You do know the similarities, of course. That was unreleased, She's Just an Angel, but both of them are early VJ stuff. So one's the Dells, and Goodnight, Sweetheart, of course, is the Spaniels. So you're talking about
right.
The same production, the same people. So let's go take a look at some writer credits here. I can do that real quickly. And so I know Johnny Funchess was lead on She's Just an Angel, but I don't know who the hell wrote it. But let's find out about Goodnight, Sweetheart, because that's easy. That one is easy to find out. Let's find out about that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I can find out about the Dells, too, just not right now, because it's not going to be something I can easily look up online. And it's not something I have on 45, because they didn't release it that way. All right, so I'm looking for VJ. Show me Good Night, Sweetheart, Good Night, The Spaniels. All versions, that's right. I want all of them. No, you're not giving it to me. I don't want anything on Buddha from 1969.
Oh, I might as well mention while I can, Raleigh.
Yes.
And I was thinking as a theme that, you know, because there's been lawsuits and the famous ones and the ones, I think it would be an interesting show or interesting to see the ones that were similar that either had the lawsuits or maybe there was no lawsuit filed, but they were both songs.
Oh, yeah. You know, there were
that would be fascinating.
We've done some of that. There are so many of that, and I'll tell you what that comes down to. It comes down to how much money was made, because there's a lot of things that are absolute rips and no one will ever sue. The most famous is, of course, poor Dallas Frazier, who wrote a record that was not a hit for anybody until the Oak Ridge Boys sang it. And when the Oak Ridge Boys sang it, next thing you know, here come the Rivingtons who sue them, saying they're saying Papa Oomow Mow in it. I mean, it was the craziest thing, but Dallas had recorded it. Other Baby Ray had recorded it, but it wasn't until it became a million seller that there was a lawsuit. But this is a great topic, Eric, and the show is over. If you will call me tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, we can talk about this.
awesome.
All right, thanks.
Because it's not just the lyrics, it's the melody sometimes, too.
Thank you. Absolutely. Right. You betcha. All right. So, yeah, we will. We'll talk about that and more. But in the meantime, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It makes it a pleasure to do this show. We're going to do it again 21 hours from right now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh. It's WGN Radio.